Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. The unthinkable has happened. The Bears won a football game. Mitchell Trubisky has his best day as a pro, and they crushed the Bengals on the road. Which performance was more impressive, the offense or the defense? Theo did not land his great white whale, but the hot stove continues. They couldn't beat Brandon Morrow in the NLCS, so Cubs just signed him. Meanwhile, with Ohtani and Giancarlo Stanton off the market, is now the best time for the White Sox to deal first baseman Jose Abreu. Meanwhile, Chicago is suddenly the city of winners. Bulls have won two straight. Good sign, or are they tanking wrong? Corey Crawford's been back for two games, and the Blackhawks have won a vote. Could he be a contender for league MVP? Man, welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show. Look who's back in our studio. Fred Mitchell, the Dean of Chicago Writers, now working for the Chicago Blackhawks. And the Fred Mitchell Award winner will be announced today. So we'll get into all that. Great to have you back. Patrick Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times. David Hall, the lead columnist at the Tribune. Catch him on the Score. And from the Score midday show, Danny Parkins is here. All right, let's start with football. The Bears found a way to win in Cincinnati yesterday, pounding the Bengals. David, I was not surprised they won. I was surprised they won by 33-7.
Yeah, I think everybody was. It was definitely the most decisive victory in the John Fox era. The Bengals packed it in early. They did not want to be there. The Bears took advantage. You know, Mr. Trubisky's best day as a pro. The defense had takeaways. Look, the significance of it has probably been overstated today in Chicago, and that's okay, because the best part about it was it changed the subject. It's okay to go positive. It's okay not to be upset that they lost, that they won a game and hurt their draft status. They needed this. Everybody needed this.
Yeah, Mitch needed this too. Mitch needed to see the fruits of his labor pay off a little bit. And you know what? If this drops the Bears eventually from, you know, number five to number seven in the draft, so I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
You know, we've seen a lot of teams here in Chicago who have been at this point of the season where there's nowhere to go postseason-wise. And here you had two teams in that category. And then I think it becomes a matter of effort. Who gives a little bit more effort? And the Bears gave much more effort than the Bengals did, certainly.
I remember when we were doing the show after the Bears took Trubisky, and the whole theme was like, it's hope. Like, just maybe everything will be okay.
Right.
That's what that game was yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It was against backups. Cincinnati packed it in. The Bears aren't going anywhere this year.
But he was still, he did things that passed the eye test. You know, yeah, his footwork was better. His accuracy was good. His command. This was a guy who needed a jolt of confidence.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right, but it's easier to have good footwork when Geno Atkins isn't rushing at you every
Absolutely.
Play. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of things that were a product of that. And, I mean, they didn't beat up on the Niners. They were still a touchdown underdog in this game. So it's not like it was that expected. And they came out and dominated. So it's about hope that, like, maybe at some point when they actually are playing a fully healthy team that's good, he'll be able to do that.
To me, the most interesting part was that they went vertical. When they were ahead by a lot, they still went vertical. They kept their foot on the gas in a way that...
Has anyone found Dowell Loggins? Because there's no way he was the guy calling
the
plays.
Was he swapped out before the game, do you think? Yeah, I mean, you know, the Bengals were interested for what? Maybe a quarter, tops?
About a quarter.
But my takeaway was the way the Bears did it. What gives you reason to think maybe Trubisky can do this again? You know, let's face it, the next three teams they play aren't juggernauts. I mean, they could rattle off one or two and at least give the kid a little confidence.
And John Fox had a better game too, right? won a challenge.
He won a challenge.
He went one for two.
The first challenge might have been the single dumbest challenge I've
watched. Oh, gosh. Yeah. In the press box, we were waiting like, okay, he's got to redeem himself for this because you don't want to have to ask him this afterwards.
Like, I'm laying on the couch. And I look and I'm like, okay, wait, he didn't just challenge that, did he?
Cap, there was a challenge earlier this year where when he challenged, he gave the other team the ball.
Yeah.
He actually won that challenge.
Who is that guy?
Come on.
He did that guy.
His explanation was great.
Here's the line, and he's so far over it. It's like, who is in his ear?
Do you think his hearing's okay? I mean, because nobody can be giving him that kind of advice.
Is there actually someone up there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Nobody is identifying the person. It probably is a collaborative thing. Like, hey, what do you see that? Do you see that? Yeah, I saw that.
It was nice. We were positive about the Bears for 3 minutes. Yeah, right. Good job. Good job as a panel.
John's explanation for it was classic. It was worth a shot.
Worth a shot.
It was like a 24-yard gain or whatever it was, you know, versus a 12-yard loss. He goes,
because you had to ask him about it, and Adam Hogue did. Look, here's the other big picture thing that's important, I think a good takeaway. In a couple weeks, the Bears are going to likely be looking for a head coach. I think we all can agree on that. And they have to, when you want to attract a quality head coach, you got to sell something. Mm-hmm. Yesterday is exhibit A of what this could look like if Mitch Trubisky develops on the same sort of course he's on right now. Because, you know, that's going to excite some offensive coaches. Look at Jordan Howard. Look at Mitch. Look at what you can do when things are clicking.
Tariq More Cohen, impressive, Shaheen. The offense or the defense yesterday?
Well, I think the offense, because that's been a major concern all season, that they could move the ball and put it in the end zone. You know, we've seen flashes with the special team scoring and defense scoring, but to get us some sustained drives like we saw yesterday, That's headline news.
I think it's the offense because we'd never seen them do this before. I mean, the defense, you've seen, you know, flashes of dominance during the course of this season. I mean, the offense, they're throwing the ball down the field.
Okay, for me, it's more of an indictment on the coaching staff.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew that was coming.
Hold on a second. If you dare go against me on this, you are out of your mind. Where in the hell has some of this been?
Cincinnati did not have seven defensive starters for something. No, it absolutely does matter.
Last week, San Francisco was not a juggernaut. He threw two passes, 10 yards.
Right.
Nothing else over.
Okay. Well, they're starting players.
See, you're getting excited. Your blood pressure is rising. I just want you to enjoy this. I mean, because it's a good thing.
I did. I know.
You could look at it that way. If you want to be a glass half empty guy, you can look at yesterday and say, what in the heck? It's going on. Where was that? The season is over, okay? You're playing for draft order, progress. You're playing for pride. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was a good day to enjoy that. Enjoy it.
I enjoyed it.
No, you just
like to know. Please, I'd like to know who they hired as a professor this week to teach Adam Shaheen the offense, because last week he played 9 plays. This week he played almost 4 times the number. A week ago, the narrative was, he's a little slow picking up the offense.
No, they lied to him. They said he was either slow picking it up or is up to the coaches to get him in the game more.
Right.
One or the other.
Well, they also said that part of the reason he didn't play was because they didn't run a lot of plays, which is, I'm still confused by that. They ran more plays in the first half on Sunday than they did in the whole game.
Well, here's my theory. They were playing in Ohio.
Yeah. He's an Ohioan?
Yeah, he's Ohioan, Ashland College, and Trubisky, of course, is
High School. Mentor, Ohio?
So I think those guys were a little excited about it.
I think they listen to Sports Talk Radio and go, you know, we ought to get this Cohen kid more involved. That's what they're saying. You know, put the Shaheen kid in.
Do you know Mark Potash actually asked John Fox that today? Something along the lines of, it feels like Dal Loggins takes our input.
and 100%!
Fox could not contain his amusement at that question.
Let's not overstate our role here.
No, of course not.
It's fun to think that. It's fun to say that. But anyone who's been in this role, I mean, you know that, there's very rare there's cause-effect when you're affecting game plans. I don't know that.
Well, I'm kidding, of course, but.
You're not kidding.
It certainly seems like.
Deep down, you believe that you called that game yesterday.
I mean, we have 2 sports stations in town on the radio. We got TV shows everywhere. We got columnists and writers. And everyone's going, hey, you got a Shaheen kid. You might want to play him. Hey, guys, we've got this 87 I just read about in the paper. Let's try and use it.
But he had a nice game, but it was like 44 yards, not 144.
And a PI, call in the end zone.
It was progress, but let's not overstate
Dal Loggins last week when we said, hey, where's Adam Shaheen? He actually said, you know, we got to see what we have in Deion Sims. Like, come on. If they can't play these young guys the rest of the way, what are we doing here?
Well, on the topic of progress, it's not just about the coach seeing Trubisky. There's a lot of people in this town, not just fans, plenty of media members at those radio stations and papers, who think Ryan Pace should be fired along with John Fox. Eddie Jackson, 2 takeaways. Tariq Cohen, over 6 yards a carry. Mitch Trubisky, the best game of his career. Adam Shaheen, 5 targets, 4 catches, a pass interference, and a touchdown. Kendall Wright, a free agent acquisition.
10 of 11 targets.
10 catches. dare I say that Ryan Pace can evaluate football talent? Now, he might be the sucker at the poker table.
A week ago, Danny, you would have had a far different.
Not true. Right? I've said keep him all year.
No, but I'm saying you perhaps, but I think you could have had the same narrative in the opposite direction. Looking at Ryan Pace's mistakes because Robbie Gould came to town. And
yeah, last week was a bad week for him.
So that's the danger in going making a weekly referendum on the general manager. You really can't do that.
And he's going, but it's not a referendum.
It's not a referendum. Like, you build your team through the draft. He has a more than acceptable hit record of draft picks so far. He has a ton of cap space. And if he has the quarterback,
I think he had a good draft last year. I would not be...
But the adjoinder at the end, and if he has the quarterback, that's not the thing you put at the end. That's the question.
That's the big
and
fact.
Can you tell
you
me right now that
you
is the quarterback?
The GM 11 starts into that's the what quarterback's
I'm saying.
No, tenure.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. But are you convinced he's special yet?
Trubisky?
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm not convinced he's special, but I really like this kid.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
I think he's going to be a good player. I do.
Well, winning cures everything, right? So you win a couple of games and you look at things a lot differently from top to bottom, from general manager to the
everything.
Job. Everything.
Everything looks better.
Yeah.
All right, the best news today, Zach Miller was back at Halas Hall for the first time since his horrific leg injury in New Orleans. Today, he talked about his fears that he might actually have lost his leg.
It was very real. A couple wrong turns away from actually happening. I had a ton of care, a lot of people helping me out through that entire process. But, you know, we're a couple minutes away from having that be real. But thankfully, we were able to avoid it. Didn't really get into where I had stuff that was starting to die off or everything. We were able to save pretty much everything. So I'm very thankful that happened. I remember, before I got into the emergency surgery, was the last thing I was telling the doc was, please save my leg, because I knew something wasn't quite right, just the way that my leg was feeling, the way it was filling up. I knew we had issues, and that was kind of just in the back of my mind. I didn't want it to happen. I made sure to let him know I didn't want that to happen as well.
I mean, amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Amazing.
What I thought was the most interesting was that Zach maintained today, when I was asking him about his knee, that the major ligaments in his knee were, quote, good. He wouldn't dismiss trying to play football again.
Well, in fairness, what's he going to say? I mean, it's an understandable question. It's an understandable response. But I think that there are other issues to address.
Every medical person you will talk to about this injury tells you that there's no chance he will play again. The fact that he detailed the strength of his ligaments, I think, goes beyond the typical.
He said my artery's stronger than it probably was before.
And he says it's at no risk of opening up the way it did last time. The fact that 6 weeks is a long time, but the fact that he is where he is right now is pretty remarkable.
Well, his history of injuries right throughout his professional career has been
tough,
devastating, and he's probably had to have this mentality throughout that I can come back, I can overcome. That's probably what's gotten him through.
All right, let's talk about the Fred Mitchell Award winner.
Yes, sir.
You picked another award winner for the kicking award. Yeah. Tell us about it.
All right, his name is Cole Tracy from Division II Assumption College in Worcester, Mass. Mm-hmm. And our David Hall here wrote a nice feature story.
I just read it. Very nice feature.
Thanks,
Cap.
And, well done, David.
This is
a future kid.
I haven't read it.
Another guy with numbers that are just off the charts. Made 27 of 29 field goals. Was 3 for 4 beyond 50 yards. Made all 67 extra points. And so that adds up to 148 points, which is NCAA record for a kicker.
How about that?
And terrific young man. Part of the criteria is community service as well. We have a 35-person selection committee for the award. And Rob Perry is the selection committee chairman. And we're very, very proud to have him. And I learned through David's article that he has a year of eligibility left as a graduate student.
Graduated and being recruited by LSU and Oklahoma
State. Can he kick for the Bears?
Maybe in a couple years. Yeah. I mean, if he, LSU and Oklahoma State are interested and have offered scholarships. Yeah. So this is a kid you might see on a bigger stage next year.
You know, of the winner, we've been giving out this award since 2009, the National Football Foundation. And every young man has at least had an NFL tryout. And a couple of them have stuck. And Patrick Murray, Tampa Bay's kicker now, was our 2014 winner out of Fordham University. We've got a kid kicking in Canada, Sergio Castillo. And every other guy is at least had an opportunity. Patrick Murray, in fact, beat out a guy named Connor Barth at Tampa Bay in 2014.
That could have shocked a lot of people here with that one.
But you know what? I don't know if I read anywhere from you guys Connor Barth, during the offseason of 2014, was playing in a charity basketball game and tore his Achilles up and came back. He said at the time that he felt just as strong, but I don't think he was the same kicker after that. And
now we know.
I wonder if the Bears knew that.
Interesting. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good to see you guys.
You're the man.
All right.
And now you're with the Blackhawks.
Yes.
So we'll be looking for you there as well.
All right.
All right, the great Fred Mitchell. Shohei Ohtani is an angel. It's back to the drawing board for the Cubs. Close to adding some bullpen help will Brandon Morrow be their closer in 2018, and how much will they bolster that bullpen? Hot Stove Talk next on Sports Talk Live.
Hi, guys.
I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit nbcolympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
Brandon Morrow pitched exceptionally well for the Los Angeles Dodgers in 2017, did not allow one home run the entire season, pitched in all seven World Series games, and now he's a member of the Chicago Cubs, inking a two-year deal for between $10 and $11 million per season. Danny, what's your take on the signing of Morrow? I'm not convinced that he is lock stock. He's the closer opening day at this point. I think they're still looking to see what else they can add.
I think that's the only take to have, right? This will be the fourth different closer in 4 years for the Cubs, which is kind of a modern way of going about building your bullpen because it changes over year to year so much. Who knows? Maybe C.J. Edwards does it. Maybe it's Justin Wilson. Maybe it's Brandon Morrow. Maybe it's closer by committee and there's a spring training.
Maybe it's Alex Colome. They make a trade. You never know.
Exactly. Or maybe there's more additions to come. So to me, he's a very good arm with a ton of experience, and you're just going to add him to the mix, and we'll see what his role is.
And as long as we're putting Justin Wilson on that list, maybe it's me. Maybe I can close for them. Me and Justin Wilson might have the same odds of doing it.
He has more career saves than you, though.
That's a good point.
Cap, you're going to have to tell me that this is not going to be Aroldis Chapman part two or the same sort of thing. You saw seven games of the World Series. He pitched in all seven tomorrow. You see a dip in guys who's pitched this late into – you're in Chicago. You know how
this
works.
Mike Montgomery tell us? Mike Montgomery came out and said the ball was not coming out of my hand right until June.
It's real. And you've got – I hope the Cubs aren't done.
I don't think they are.
If they are going into spring training with Morrow as your projected closer, I think it's going to be a disappointing offseason.
I think it's risky.
I'm hesitating to, you know, have – too strong of a judgment because I think it's incomplete right now. Because Morrow, great, lights out, but what kind of pitcher will he be next year the wear and tear of this year?
Right, they know that, but also the investment is so different. Chapman got $80 million.
This guy gets 21.
Well, I don't care about the investment. I think if you're a Cubs fan, all you care about are the results, and you definitely saw a different pitcher in Chapman in the beginning of 2017.
By the end, he was very good last year. He pitched into it. And the investment matters because the Yankees are tied to Chapman. The Cubs are not tied to Morrow for $9 million next year. If they want to take him along slowly, if they want to say you're only going to pitch two or three times a week in the early going, they can do whatever they want with him. And you still have the rest of this offseason. You have the trade deadline. Like, we don't know what's
bullpen. Your objective this offseason, find a closer. If this is the answer, I don't know that you feel that good about it.
Well, and one other difference between he and Chapman, Brandon Morrow's career has been defined by arm injuries. I mean, Brandon Morrow is
more as a starter than a reliever.
Yeah, as a starter. Yeah, but still a high usage guy this past season, plus a history of arm injuries.
I think you wanted him. You wanted him. You got him.
Sure.
But I don't know that you want him to be the main prize of your offseason.
They're not done. And plus, okay.
They've already paid a pitcher more money than him in Tyler Chatwood, and they're probably going to sign Alex Cobb. He won't be the main feature of this offseason.
What about this approach with Cobb and Chatwood? Are you okay with that rotation? If those are your replacements for Lackey and Arrieta?
And Hendricks and Quintana and Chatwood and Cobb, and you're leaving yourself a ton of payroll.
Can you win the World Series with that?
Yes.
Yes?
Of course.
You say that definitively, Cub fan. I don't know that you can.
I mean, you have.
I don't know that that makes you feel like we have a World Series champion going into Arizona with that rotation.
But you didn't trade anybody.
You still have so many bullets.
You didn't replace Arrieta. You didn't replace Jake Arrieta.
Well, except you have a full season of Quintana.
Okay, you didn't replace Jake Arrieta. That's my point. You went into this offseason. You've said it. You've said it. We've all said it. You have to replace Jake Arrieta with a guy of that ilk, of that value. And if that's your rotation, you haven't done it. That's just the way I'm looking at it.
Jake Arrieta was not the 2015 Jake Arrieta last
Cap,
year.
You're losing Arrieta. You're losing Wade Davis.
Right. If you're but replacing you got Jose Quintana at the All-Star break. Now you got a full season.
Now he's not a Buick. Now he's a Rolls Royce.
We're going to find out. They paid Rolls Royce prices. We're going to see. All right, we got to take a timeout. Chicago Bulls and winning streak. Two phrases we never thought would be in the same sentence. They go for 3 in a row tonight against the NBA's best team. Will the Celtics be without their best player? It looks like they might. Plus, we'll get a little Jose Abreu talking. We'll be right back.
When the game ends, switch back to CSN Chicago for Bears postgame live. The team will take you through all the key moments from the field, hear from Coach Fox, and get live player reactions. Bears postgame live after every Bears game on CSN Chicago.
Bulls back to work tonight. They'll take on one of the best teams in the game, the Boston Celtics, but Kyrie Irving not expected to play. The other night, Nico Mirotic tweeted, 2-0. That's 2-0 since he's come back.
He also said some interesting things afterward about his presence. He's a confident young man right now. And, you know, it's a far cry from where he was a couple weeks ago. But, hey, enjoy it while it lasts, because it's not going to last very long.
Nope. Shot the ball exceptionally well the other night.
Build your trade value.
We'll see what happens.
It's going to end tonight. I guess the Celtics, so it'll be 2-1
will not
after tonight.
A three-game Bulls winning streak. All right, before we get out of here, Jose Abreu's name has been bandied about in trade with the Boston Red Sox, reportedly hot after the White Sox first baseman DH. Would you trade this guy?
If you got the requisite prospect
even
haul,
knowing you've got Luis Robert, Yoan Moncada, you've got a number of Cuban and Latin players. He's a great mentor.
I agree. I think that he has a tremendous amount of value to the White Sox, and I think that there are commodities more valuable than leadership to other teams on the open market, like 30 and 100.
I'd be reluctant. Danny and I disagree on this, but that's okay. But I would definitely value leadership more than he does. He's young.
I think you need to get...
And he's old.
Yeah. I think he's not on the timeline that all their other guys are on, and I think if you can get a prospect who is, of course you got to do it.
All right, boys, that's a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Have a great evening. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.